Oh, you did. You did. You did it.
Thank you.
I'm not good.
No.
Hello.
Oh, wait, not.
And welcome to a special edition of the Cubicorn Games podcast.
Boing Loins.
We're going to talk about Boing Loins and movies, specifically mostly one movie, which would be Star Wars,
The Phantom Menace.
Uh-huh. Yeah, start with a showstopper. Number one.
Yeah, fresh, start at the start.
Fresh raw deconstruction. Never. Nobody's done that on the internet before.
Never.
No one does that. So you shot another pioneering.
We're going to talk about The Last Jedi.
How many hits on YouTube do you think you'd get if you put in Star Wars The Last Jedi review?
I mean, like, how many are out there right now?
Yeah, as
thousands
of today,
and thousands,
right?
And thousands. So many.
Thousands.
Yeah.
That seems
one
right.
More after this.
Yeah. Thousands
yeah.
And one.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to talk about the movie. We're going to talk about everything about it. So if you haven't seen it and care, stop listening. Come
spoilers.
Back. Right.
Spoilers
beep,
forever.
Beep,
spoilers
beep,
forever.
Beep,
come back
beep,
after
beep,
one theater
beep,
viewing
beep,
of that film. Or, you know,
two.
Steal it or whatever, you know.
Eh,
I'm not saying
you
should, but
you
Disney
it.
Doesn't need
I'm
your
also,
money.
I'm also not your dad, so...
I'm your dad, and I approve.
Disney does not need your money. They've got your money.
Snitches get stitches.
Mm-hmm. But with that, yeah, we are going to talk about that movie. I will just kick it off by saying that I enjoyed it. I think it's far from perfect, but...
Agreed.
It is...
B minus. That was my verdict, and I ain't changing it.
I give it a B plus.
That's what I gave
it. I'm right at B plus.
I honestly might say A minus.
Wow.
I enjoyed it. It was a good time.
Can you give us another example of an A minus in your lifetime?
Oh, hmm.
Ninth grade math.
Oh, God, no, that was like a C.
Better than me. Yeah.
It all went downhill. It should get to about 11th grade.
Another A minus movie.
Or, I mean, A minus, you know.
Game.
Yeah,
I think a better approach to this would be like
something
of,
just something
rank
else.
It out of the 8 Star Wars movies. I don't necessarily want everybody
well,
to like give
yeah,
it a
I,
list.
Yeah, we want the whole. I will say that I would probably.
I'm putting it above 7.
I agree with that.
Yeah, when
okay.
I upon an
I'll
initial
talk about why later.
Yeah, upon an initial viewing of,
I might give 7 like a B plus and say this is an A minus.
Yeah, upon sure. My like after my initial viewing of 7 of The Force Awakens, I think if you had asked me to rate it then, I would have given it an A. And now I think I would give it like a B.
That's about right. I feel exactly.
And with that added context, this movie I would give a B plus.
This movie does more wrong than Force Awakens, but it also does more right.
Yeah,
than
100%
agree. I agree with that.
Yes. I am of that mind as well.
It's hard to do anything wrong or
you don't
right
do anything.
You don't take any chances on anything.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like, honestly, like, I will take that over, like, I would personally take that over what might have been like an A movie to the people out there who wanted them to play it 100% safe again.
Right.
Like, I agree.
I would rather have this movie be a little sloppy and take some chances.
Higher
than
highs and maybe some lower lows, but risks were taken.
Yeah,
you
my
did
fear
something new.
My fear was that
it was just going to be Empire.
Yeah, this movie was going to be as much Empire as The Force Awakens was A New Hope. And
that was
yeah.
My fear.
Yeah, that's what I thought would happen, and it totally didn't. So in my mind, that's like a success.
And I think that's also why I lean a little more towards the A minus, because of that, the fact that it was more out there and trying to be a new thing as opposed to, hey, guess what? It's Star Wars again.
Thanks for your money.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. See you.
See you in a couple of years.
See you
no,
next
see you,
year.
See you next year for the Han Solo solo outing.
Solo.
Solo.
It's called Solo.
It's called Solo.
It's called Solo, and I want to die.
Brought to you by Red Cups.
Oh, yeah.
to be fair, their intent on being a different movie is part of the reason I dislike it, because it felt like they were trying so hard for some parts of it that like it was just obvious that they wanted to build up expectations of the original Star Wars and then subvert them
right.
Deliberately.
But I never
was like
that.
Thanks for making that really obvious.
Yeah, well, let's get into some of those specifics. Like, Wade, I bet a lot of us are going to have like overlap on some of these moments, but Wade, what for you is like one thing specifically that was like in that camp for you where it was like a little too much or just a little too off?
So one that I would say, the parallel between Luke and Obi-Wan from A New Hope, where he puts himself into a position to get martyred in exchange for the Resistance, like, that was super obvious. and oops, Luke wasn't there. He was a phantom.
But then he died.
But then he actually died anyway. Like, fucking, what a waste.
Yeah.
What an absolute waste.
When that happened, what I thought was that he died in that initial blast of laser fire and then came back instantly as a force ghost.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
That would have been like, funny.
Just to troll him instantly about that.
That would be pretty funny. I had said this, like, when we were, like, exhausting our thoughts after we walked out of the theater, but when that first happened, basically when you see that, like, volley of laser fire, somehow my brain was so stupid that I would, like, with the red salt on the planet or whatever, I was like, did Luke Skywalker just explode into a pile of guts?
I was wondering if they were going to do something like that. I was like, oh, he's dead. And just, they're not going to make a moment out of this. He's just gone now.
That would have been really fun.
That would have been very strange.
I would not have agreed with that, no.
Yeah.
That choice.
I wouldn't have either, but it would
have... A whole movie building up to Luke Skywalker doing something.
So did Luke Skywalker just die?
Basically, like, almost an off-screen death for how little you could tell.
Man.
So that was one thing where they clearly wanted you to think something was going to happen, and then they were like, oops,
I thought
pull
it, was
it back.
I really liked it, but it was weird that there were almost no consequences between the subversion and what you expected,
right.
Because both of them ended with Luke dying, and he did die both ways. So. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like one of the things that we had mentioned in that initial like post-movie dump or whatever was...
Damn, Lorraine. Go for it. No, continue.
Was the fact that it wasn't like some... gritty, like he didn't die in battle, it was just him, like he just kind of peacefully passed on almost.
Yeah,
like,
I think they even said that in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely...
I feel like I enjoyed more than had he, like...
Gotten cut in half.
Yeah, like,
right.
Qui-Gon Jinn
I wouldn't have wanted him
Obi-Wan
to die like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
he
I...
He died on his terms as opposed to on Kylo's terms.
Yeah, I think I'm softer on it than Wade, too, because I don't know what I wanted specifically, but I, like Lorraine said, I knew there was a couple things I didn't want. Like, I didn't want him to just be stabbed or, like, cut to pieces or something. Not that they were going to do that anyway. But you know that's
the
not
Star
what
Wars
I would,
tradition.
I'll tell you what I wanted.
Okay,
because I told Phil this after the movie. Clone Wars established a lot of Jedi superpower fuckery that most of the movies have just never even tried to approach. Where like there were Jedis that were going 40 miles an hour, skirting over the ground, flying at waves of people, cutting them down in swaths, and like it would have been really awesome to see Luke walk up to that actual army, fly out, and actually, like, decimate it before Kylo comes down and they have an epic duel and he dies. Like, that would have been really cool.
Somehow to me, in a movie about, you know, space lasers and magic, that would have been a bridge too far for me.
My
suspension of disbelief for that would have been shattered.
Some of that nonsense bogging down the prequels makes them bad.
I think it wouldn't have fit with the narrative of the movie because Luke's whole point was basically, even if you're a Jedi, you're just one person and you can't take on a whole army, and that's part of the reason the Jedi Order shouldn't exist is because it creates that mindset.
Yeah, and I think there are things, like either movies or, you know, episodes of a cartoon series or something where that totally does work, and this movie specifically, I don't think it would be down for it because Luke's arc was so much that he was basically, like, defeated and broken and just, like... He had essentially lost hope completely, and to have him go from that to being, like, not only hopeful, but also, like, the sole savior of, like, their predicament.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, he was never much of a superhero anyway.
Yeah.
If one lucky shot on the Death Star and he talked to Dad into killing the Emperor.
That's about it. Yeah, that's true.
Like, in the context of the movie that they made and, like, those larger story beats, I don't think I would have been down for something like that. But
and he also didn't have all that much training. Like, he's mostly self-taught.
He's about like, as much training as Rey.
Right, I was to say, her arc is going to be similar, and then, she
read those
books. A light touch of Jedi Mastery.
I'm going to add that Luke... my train of thought just crashed.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah, okay, so the narrative difference between Luke dying on his own little planet and dying at Kylo Ren's hands is the First Order thinks that Luke is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
That could be a really big plot point in the next movie.
Yeah.
They don't even know
that
he's
there. They still think that, because, like, he wasn't here at all.
Right, he wasn't even there. And now, even worse.
I feel like the only people who might know
you're probably right.
Because it's...
Well, Rey and Leia know because
of the Force. Does that mean Kylo knows, too?
He could.
Yeah,
it wasn't
clear.
They didn't touch on it.
Yeah.
But it's possible.
I bet it's not mentioned again.
possibly. I don't know. I bet it's mentioned.
I mean, I bet it'll be mentioned that he's dead, but I don't think there'll be any confusion over his state of being.
Uh-huh. They didn't make it clear that Kylo knows that he's dead.
Yeah.
And Kylo just seemed confused and angry.
He seemed confused and angry the entire movie.
That's true, but he also has really good force connection to other people, and he didn't have any force connection to Luke.
Actual training.
He's had a lot of training.
From both from Luke and Snoke.
Yeah.
He's done some force something with that boy.
Mm-hmm. While we're on the subject of both Luke and subverting expectations, I think one of my favorite things in the movie is that they do, like, they destroy his hero facade a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I really like the level of grayness that they added to Kylo's full turn to the dark side. I was totally down with that.
Yeah.
Right.
I really liked their little very kind of strange mind conversations. Where they could see, I liked that concept because like they didn't really they interacted for such a short amount of time in the first movie, but had a fairly deep connection in that small window, and now they're kind of exploring it more, but they weren't anywhere near each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a neat
built some
kind
character
of,
development on characters that you'd have a hard time writing to be in the same room.
Right. It's a force power that I kind of wish other movies had established before this.
I like the expansion of force powers.
Yeah, at the same time, I like that they're being creative with their force usage as opposed to, I'm going to have a laser sword and shoot lightning.
And do quadruple flips in the air.
Flip.
Yeah.
Lots of flips.
As far as establishing force abilities, I do think that, like, I get that, like, some people will just be, like, will be miffed that they're changing anything relative to the establishment of what has been in the canon previously.
Right.
But I am totally down for force powers that are more, like, mental than physical.
Yeah.
Like, the
fact
that it's about communication or, like...
It's a force.
Jedis are basically,
Jedis
are basically, like, Eastern mystics anyway. So the fact that Luke can astral project, like,
that's
isn't established anywhere beforehand, but it makes sense to me in terms of, like, what I would guess are other things that Jedi can
and
do.
Having, like,
it's not that far removed from being a force ghost.
Yeah. I described the movie as a movie about monk wizards, and Mary didn't seem surprised when he did force project. So.
Yeah, exactly.
It fits the character and the story enough.
To jump around a little bit, on the other side of that coin, I just still don't know if I, like, hated it or not, but I found the Leia thing to be, like, super distracting.
It was, yes.
That's
a good word for it.
Like, it was just, like...
It was probably the only moment in the movie where I was like, what the fuck?
Uh-huh.
In, like, a way that wasn't cool.
Why
was it
was she,
just...
Like, what was this... Like, I don't understand the space sequence. Because
I wasn't, like...
It was just to give her a heroic scene.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
I
you know,
to
like,
normally
some extent,
wouldn't have one.
I can respect that. But,
yeah.
like, it was... Like I said, it wasn't, like, a revulsion. I just kind of tilted my head.
Yeah, it was confusing.
And I really, like, there was something about it that was just, like, they went so far.
Yeah, it was a,
like,
slight bridge
with
too
the physicality
far.
Of it that, like,
yeah.
in my
yeah.
mind, like, I was, like, rewriting that scene, like, 20 minutes after it occurred. And I would have just liked to see, like, either, like, her move some shit in front of the windows or something
yeah.
to stop
yeah, some,
shit
something
from flying
lighter.
Into space or, like...
She went from 1 to 100 in the
yeah,
horsepower
there
real
some,
quick.
Yeah, exactly. There was
well,
something
she's
about...
She's only shown, like, a perception of
very
it and not,
loosely.
Like,
right. She's never used it
putting in, yeah,
in the
putting
physical
it into
world.
Practice.
Yeah.
Maybe she has in the years between
it's
6
possible.
And 7, but
sure.
it's never,
I'm sure
like...
I'm sure it's in a book somewhere that she hasn't.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
were,
throwing that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was just something about her full going, like, full Superman, like, instantly.
Right.
And then basically everybody else, like, no one else even questioned it.
Yeah.
Like, I guess just that's just the thing she can do. She can survive in a vacuum and, like, suck herself back into the spaceship.
It was very strange.
She
well,
didn't
so,
question, but didn't bring it back up.
Nope.
She wasn't in the vacuum of space any longer than a human could survive in the vacuum of space, for what that's worth. Also, in a no-gravity situation, it wouldn't take much effort to propel
sure,
yourself
right.
in a direction.
Yeah, that's a good point,
if you
too.
Want to talk about stupid
yeah.
physics things.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah, if we're going, like...
Less.
And this is a thing that doesn't bother me in the slightest, but, like... Just to nitpick a little, like, while we're here, since that's what you do on the internet, I want to know what the science is behind the bombers. Like, why do the bombs fall
so
like
that,
bombs do
I, there
in space?
I didn't like that
about it, but I didn't read it, but I know the gist of it was, yeah, this is a thing that could happen.
Really?
Okay,
yeah.
I'll take it.
I mean, they could have been propelled in some way.
Yeah, I was like, are they magnetic or right? Or do they have some kind of propulsion?
One of the things that I had said was maybe there's, like, artificial gravity around the ship because it's already obviously in the ship.
It's very large.
Right.
The ship itself, like Kyle said, is big and therefore
has
some amount of
gravity
to attract things.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe the bombers project... Like
right.
a field beneath
yeah.
them.
They push it downwards.
It's like
then,
a mini rail gun that goes straight down.
And
the rail gun was what I was thinking.
And then
when
the
I
bombs
it.
Go through that, basically.
Right.
So.
Yeah, those are all reasonable explanations for a thing that doesn't really matter anyway.
When you think about it,
as long as we're nitpicking this thing,
okay.
To me, you drop this long line of vertical bombs all at the same time, straight down. Like, when the bottom one explodes, it's just going to chain up and miss most of the ship,
you know? That's a good question, too.
That seemed kind of stupid.
But I will say, like, outside of the physical limitations of that scene, I did kind of enjoy the weird, like... I like that this movie, more than probably any Star Wars movie since maybe A New Hope, is put, like, seems to be paying more homage to the things that inspired Star Wars in the first place than necessarily just more Star Wars itself. Because that was, like, so, like... 1940s, like that was so World War II.
Yeah,
I got that
same vibe. It's like I was watching it
in a way that I was like totally okay with.
Adventure
like,
show.
Like I appreciated the rendering of like that looks like a movie that John Wayne might have starred in,
yeah.
And like, like in terms of like something closer to like a weird old Hollywood adventure thing than just like an explicitly here's a Star Wars reference,
thing.
Star Wars fight scene,
yeah.
Star fight.
If we want, we can transition that. As a segue into other weapon-based discussions involving World War II, because I got a lot of opinions.
Yeah,
about...
do it, Wade. I know this is the what you wanted to talk about the most.
All right, let's hear
let's
it.
Get the negativity
yeah.
out.
Weaponizing light speed, motherfucker.
I mean, there's a lot there.
There's a lot there, and I feel like it completely breaks the
it
entirety
kind
of Star
does.
Wars continuity to say. All
no one
of
has thought of this before.
That, yeah, uh-huh. Not a single person in a shrinking rebellion army that's low on human resources, but apparently fairly high on economic resources, didn't think to pilot a ship at light speed, an unmanned ship at light speed, into
something bigger.
Into something bigger, right? It's like, this is the first time they've done that. What a surprise.
Like, I can... sort of forgive like the series as a whole for not having that element in it, but even in that movie, like they had the three trailer ships where they just ran out of gas and died. Like they knew they weren't gonna keep going, so they could have turned themselves around and done
the
exactly
same
what they did.
Also
right.
that.
Okay,
but.
So I had that thought too, but I think there's at least like a light. Like I totally get if it's not satisfying to like I the nitpick is fine. Like I think it makes a lot of sense to like raise that question because on some level it is definitely preposterous.
It's definitely preposterous.
Yeah.
But there on the other hand, like I think the thing that happens like at least in that moment is that there's the suggestion that it takes some time for them to target whatever they're shooting at, and I guess she does it so quickly that they're still shooting the tiny
Maybe.
Ships and they can't shoot the big ship.
Maybe.
So like if you want to explain it away. You can, but
well,
yeah, it's not, you know, it's a movie-making thing.
Right. I don't necessarily care.
It's certainly
really
not.
Cool.
Yeah, right, it was neat.
It looked, it was a very cool, well-directed scene that pissed me off.
Yeah, like from the physics and, like, logically deconstructing a movie, I don't think it makes a ton of sense, but yeah, the shot that you get from it, that's another, like, when you're just talking about cinematography... That shot was like so
yeah.
like
it was,
that was probably my favorite
yeah,
moment.
So,
yeah,
that
was a good sequence.
That struck me as like so like manga or like
yeah.
late 70s, early 80s anime.
Yeah.
Like it was maybe the only time I've ever been in a
fairly,
movie theater.
Fairly Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah,
like,
it was maybe the only time I've ever been in a movie theater where I heard like
You
complete
heard silence,
silence
yeah.
for
no
like
one
10 seconds.
Or touch their popcorn. Or, yeah. What I said to Wade on the way home is that Star Wars is always very loud.
Uh-huh.
It's not shy
and
it about
it. It was such a quiet,
right.
like intense moment.
Taking away all of that for
mm-hmm.
that scene made it that much more powerful because I
yes.
don't think that's ever been done in a
yeah,
Star Wars movie.
Right,
yeah,
because right, the number of times that you've seen that happen in a Star Wars movie of like something happens to a ship that it goes down and there's an explosion and fire and noise and
right.
cuz
yeah.
it did follow
trumpets
like
and,
there was
yeah.
like there was an aftermath
right, the John
to
Williams
it,
score coming
but
up
but you had
uh-huh.
like there was just that moment of like the different angles the like very black and white starkness of the here's where the ship cut through and like the fucking pieces slowly pulling away
and it carried extra weight because this character that you thought was just a bitch for the entire
yeah.
movie before that was actually suddenly a hero
mm-hmm.
which was one of the less expected subversions of
mm-hmm.
I still didn't care about her.
I
thought she was fine.
It is fine.
I liked that you saw her only through Poe's perspective,
mm-hmm.
and at the end...
You weren't getting her side of the story, too.
There's
right.
no reason she couldn't have explained his,
yes.
her plan
no,
to
yes.
him.
Yeah, so
you
that's
are,
another...
Yeah,
yeah.
You are not wrong.
Yeah,
that's
I agree with
that's
that.
Another just like, this is a movie, and this is a choice we made to make the plot advance.
Yeah.
But that one I actually...
That one.
That one I disagree with more, because it has like more weight in like... Like, when you're tearing logic in the... In the fabric of like physics in like a weird movie with space mm-hmm. wizards, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But when you're like the intent of a movie, theoretically, you know, is to generate sympathy for characters and raise emotions in you and whatever.
Entertain.
Entertain. And that decision, I think, scuttles a good opportunity for more of that. Because I think if that arc, like, I think if Poe's whole arc had been on top of everything else that he went through, if she did explain the plan to him, and then after the plan was explained to him, he still decided, I'm the cocksure, I'm going to go off and do my own plan, because I think I'm just smarter and more heroic. Like, I think that would have been so much better and so much more, like, completely satisfying than to have
this
weird,
and then
he
watches,
like,
his plan fall apart.
Yeah.
And then she swoops in and saves the day.
I thought that whole subplot was dumb.
I have another thing about it, but go ahead.
Speaking of, I really am irritated that no one brought up that Finn and lady
Rose
basically killed, like, hundreds
they
of
sure
people, and they just
Poe
never discussed it. Like, they caused their deaths, and there was no redemption arc, there was no grief, there was no, like,
they didn't get the screen time for it.
Yeah, not a single named character was on any of those ships.
That's the other thing.
Phil, say what you were going to say.
I was going to add that I've been reading a lot of other people's takes on the movie. People who are in the military took away from Poe and his character and that whole situation that the person in command is in command, and they don't need to tell you anything. You follow what they do. Mm-hmm. And that Poe not doing that was him breaking the chain of command in a way that's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you are in a military situation, you shouldn't expect to be told everything.
Handed a memo saying, this is what we're going to do, step by step.
She said that, do this, this is the plan, and so do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think that was necessarily unrealistic.
I'll take that. They wouldn't tell everyone
that.
But the fact that, like, if you're going, like, general Star Wars-ish, though, most of the time,
the viewer needs some logic to go with, too.
Yeah, that and, like, the rebels, at least, like, the, like, Akbar, Leia, like, all those people have been fairly communicative, they communicate what the plan is, like, in Force Awakens, for example, like, they're, like, sending out, like, we need, like, ideas, like, do you have anything, and that's where they get their big plan.
You're saying that there has been, like, priorly established, like,
there's
more direct communication.
Yeah. They've never been, like,
Well, part of that is, as a rebel force, they're only, like, several hundred or a thousand people, and theoretically, Poe had a very high position in that organization.
The other thing about this plan is that it was extremely sensitive information, and they were being tracked, and they didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody on the ship was a mole,
they somewhat knew how.
Right?
They didn't know about any moles, but they found out. Well, they were tracking.
She didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
The command didn't know how.
He did tell her their plan. He went, and she's like,
"No." He eventually told them the plan, but if there was some way that they could get verbal information from that ship to the First Order, then telling everyone what their plan is jeopardizes the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, I'm not... On viewing it, I had all the same complaints.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it might have been wise to tell the audience what's going on.
Yeah.
Because
it just
from
makes,
a believability
like,
standpoint,
it then
but
forces
I don't have
us
a huge
to...
problem with it.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at some point, it's
it,
still...
Well, it then forces our empathy onto her in, like, the last seconds, as opposed in having us, like, feel animosity towards her the rest
wanted,
of the time she's on screen.
They wanted you to
screen.
Dislike this character until she
died
until
her moment of redemption.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's basically Poe's arc, that his perception of everything's not really believable. And like not trustable. He's a non-trustworthy...
He's an
unreliable narrator.
That one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, reliable was missing.
Yeah.
You got it.
Phil found it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's other trade-offs there, too, with just, again, like, the nuts and bolts of filmmaking that, like... It's very easy to fall down, like, in a movie where time should be at a premium to have another, like, 2 or 3 minutes of dialogue of just, like...
Exposition somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of exposition dump of, like, this is exactly what we're going to do, and in detail, I'm going to describe to you what's happening.
I know
Wade... Could have taken more time than a half-mutiny.
Well...
Sure.
Yeah.
I know Wade for sure wanted a little bit more exposition in the throne room scene, and I'll let him talk about that.
Right. They brought up a really interesting political scenario where... Kylo Ren wants to get rid of the old world, burn the old world down, establish a new one with Rey, but he establishes it in a very ambiguous way where it's unclear if he wants to be a dictator or if he wants to...
I don't think I think the point is he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Like, he is so... Because, I mean, you kind of see...
Like, okay, we did it.
As he assumes the, like, leadership of the First Order, he doesn't know what he's doing. He basically is like, kind of like twisting Hux's arm, being like,
right.
"We're doing this now." He's like, "Okay." Mm-hmm.
Right. The issue I have is that he doesn't even try to explore it mm-hmm. with Rey, and Rey doesn't try,
Rey doesn't
to, explore
try to explore it,
back.
It either. Yeah. So she's just like, "Join you." That sounds like a dirty sentence. Yeah. Like,
right.
No.
And they disregard it completely and decide that they need to kill each other after they just saved each other's lives, mm-hmm. respectively. And that
right.
just does not feel appropriate for the scene.
Or for the buildup that led to this.
Or for the buildup.
And I agree with
that. I think it's in part a way to kind of show that even though they both want to help each other, that much is clear. Like, they want each other on their side. They
right.
want to understand, like, they're looking for someone, since they're, like, the only, like, Force users, like, real ones that are trained, at least in some regard. They want something to lean on, since Luke has let Rey down and Snoke is fucking dead.
Hell yeah.
they want that support, and I think the fact that they don't have that, like, their sides to lean back on, and they're just kind of confused, is why they split and just started super murdering each other.
We'll see where it goes in the next movie, but
yeah.
By the end of that movie, I just decided that Ben Solo is a sociopath.
I mean, yeah. that's definitely possible.
The
like so every single
stuff.
Thing he just does because it'll help him.
Right. I don't think he has any morals or motivations besides I hate everything.
Yeah, I don't think there are ulterior motives for him.
Mm, well, they did give him the one, the biggest little like note of ambiguity was like him personally holding off on the guns, right?
That's true.
And the Leia
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He still likes his mom.
Didn't want to kill his own mother.
What a nice boy.
Mm-hmm. So
such
his servants did it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that description of the end of the throne room scene, like, I totally still get both sides of it. And I think I'm a little more on the okay side. Just
yeah,
my,
I don't have any.
My takeaway was just that they are, like, you're seeing two kids who are young
yeah.
and
sure.
inexperienced
sure,
and they don't
yeah.
really know what they're doing. And
I
now they just got into the scenario where, like, all they knew is that they wanted to get out alive.
Yeah.
Right.
I think all that Kylo knew from the start of that encounter was that he was done taking Snoke's shit.
Right.
But, like, after
yes.
that was after that crisis
right.
was averted, like, I don't
now
even
what?
Yeah, now what?
I guess I can take control of this empire.
Well, because I think where he's coming from, like, he's always had, he's had Luke above him, and then he had Snoke.
He's never been
able to be in control
sure.
of himself, but he knows those at the top have the power. So I think that's why he wanted to, like, let's
now
start
I'm
something
the Supreme
with, yeah.
Chancellor.
Mm.
I want to be in charge because that's how you can be free or
that's
whatever.
That's what Vader would have done.
Sure.
It would have been really nice to have heard some dialogue, like, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, some dialogue where he's like, you know, we're never going to stop this war. We're never going to stop the fact that there is conflict like this. Let's just make sure that people at the top are
competent or well-meaning or whatever.
Right, well-meaning, well-intentioned, that they're not just total evil dickbags.
Mm-hmm.
Even
if you were a sociopath, that would have been a smart thing to say.
Right, and I don't know, it just felt like a missed opportunity more than anything.
Certainly something they could have explored more, but yeah, like, again, I just totally take it personally as just, like, I don't think he knew what his
3 minutes
goal
before
was.
That, they both thought they might die.
Right, yeah.
The rest of that throne room scene was really cool.
Agreed.
The series is heavily leaned into the fact that it's just not going to care about the politics of
which
the situation.
Is a shame.
It is a shame.
Any realistic.
But if you think about it, like, in the first movie, they basically destroyed the entire galactic government, and now there isn't one.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the First Order is not the empire of the past.
Yeah. They're basically in tatters.
So
everyone is broken.
Right, there's these, I mean, it's not clear how many people are in it, but, you know, it's not a huge organization, and the rebellion or the resistance is not, it's down to a couple of people at this point.
Yeah.
Right. Less than 100.
So most of the galaxy doesn't give a shit.
Sure. I mean, if you want to wind back, like,
they didn't even touch on that very lightly.
Yeah.
That was a thing that I was always one of my bigger complaints about, especially on repeated viewings of The Force Awakens, and this movie is kind of beholden to it because that's the state of the universe by the
right.
time that this one picks up in. But I was bummed out by, like, one of the things that bums me out by the arc of this new trilogy of Star Wars movies is how exactly that specific scenario, like, how much they wanted to get that back to the original Star Wars movies. Like, we want the bad guys to be the government
giant,
big bad
right.
force, and we want the good
right.
guys to be the scrappy you know, like, tough on their luck.
They were definitely trying to get as far away from they could as the prequel having extended scenes of Senate debate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And that's fine.
That's fine.
But yeah, like, the same thing you're saying is that, right, they basically hand-wave away both, like, billions of lives and, like, and the existing government structure. And in my mind, still, that seems just, like, mostly, like, we know where we want the story to go. Mm-hmm. Like, we want the good guys to be the scrappy up-and-coming, you know.
Which I had a hard time believing from the get-go in that The Force Awakens, because the Republic won.
Like, right.
Yeah.
How can you be a resistance when you're also the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the worst thing,
the
worst
thing was to explain it,
they were basically just
well.
Like a militia,
and there's
secretly government sanctioned militia
there's side content that totally shouldn't count. Like, they go to the extent of like comic books and shit to try to explain that, but it's super dumb to do that
sure
in the context of making a movie like that. In my mind, I don't consider any of that shit relevant when the goal should be that you go into a theater and you sit down and you watch a thing and it mm-hmm. you know it
right.
is self-contained
it's itself.
Yeah, right.
But C-3PO had a red arm.
Oh man,
what was up with that?
Now he doesn't.
Now he doesn't.
He got it fixed.
But yeah,
that's all we need to know.
In any case, trying to go back to this movie, I think it'll be interesting, like, what happens with the final one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like there was probably some push and pull in terms of what the trajectory would have been after The Force Awakens, like, if J.J. had continued to, like, if he had directed all three, like, if he had made this mm-hmm. movie, I think things would have been different than the way they are in this movie.
Yeah.
In my opinion, probably for the worse, because
I
still liked the way that all the big story beats went in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are people that totally disagree.
Have to get there, maybe a little rocky. But
yeah.
I like where they're going with it.
Because, like, while I was glad to see Snoke stuffed out and just see that stupid thing be dismissed. Like, I think it was
I'm mad about that.
I think it was a ridiculous...
I
think it was silly for them to, like, to gin up just, like, here's a up until this point unknown but now super powerful Force user that is evil and existed in the galaxy for some reason, and now he's in charge of the post-Empire for whatever, you know... Just because we wanted to reset things to a state that was similar to the older movies. And, like, in that sense, I wish they hadn't kind of done that at all.
Right.
So, like, that I was super satisfied to see him die in that context.
I feel like that was necessary for Kylo Ren's character development.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. Like, you can make that argument, too. I had always hoped that, like... Again, if I was tasked with, like, taking a script and, like, doing a light rewrite, like, I would have made it more that, like... characters like Hux are the reason that Kylo Ren exists.
I was thinking about this all
day. It's like sniveling post-imperial officers that are like, look, we are weak and feckless, but we need something to rally around.
And
it turns out the thing we found to rally around is this troubled kid.
Right, and you can still have a Snoke with a less stupid name and not a super emperor mega demon god. Just have him be like a really smart politician leader type.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And like a general.
Yeah, and just manipulate Kylo into being.
If you want to dig out the old.
Then you don't have this weird situation where you have this thing that it should have been acknowledged in some of these previous movies.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense that he just appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, if you want to dig through the old expanded universe bullshit, you go full Thrawn with it. He's just like a really capable, like, imperial officer.
Smart
guy. Right, yeah.
A thing that these movies desperately need is more smart people.
Everybody with no superpowers.
Everybody in the First Order is just, like, basically brain dead at this point. They're not even pretending to be smart.
Oh, the ship's going too fast. Oh, well.
But
just keep shooting at it.
But at the same time, like I said, I was satisfied by that because I just think it's a more interesting direction to take Star Wars, period.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally get that people would be frustrated by... Like, there's clearly the suggestion that there was, like, some secret that, like, should have been divulged about this character, like, about Snoke or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into the race stuff, too, which I also think they took the right road with.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
But, yeah, we'll get to that. There's that, too. But, I get, like, it's very much, you know, if you take it right back to J.J. Abrams, there's, like, the lost thing of...
Sure.
You know, he sets up these mysteries, and then it becomes someone else's job to pay them off somehow.
That's perfect.
He basically like writes to a point in a screenplay and then puts a question mark at the end, and then somebody else 2 movies from now has to fill in that blank.
Let's just kill him.
Let's just kill him.
From that perspective, yes, I'm glad that he's gone. I mean, I'm glad he's gone too, because he was a dumb character. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't have existed.
Uh-huh. But like, I
I'll
definitely...
never find out who he was, probably, or
right.
what his deal is.
Here's my theory.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. All right.
10, 11, and 12 are going to take place between 4, 5, and 6, and 7, 8, and 9. And then once we get to 13, that's going to be after 9.
Son
and
of
just,
a bitch.
We're just going to keep fucking going. It's ping ponging. They rhyme, damn it. They fucking rhyme.
I have a simpler theory.
No.
We will never find out anything more about Snyder.
I hope that's the case.
I hope so.
I'd be totally satisfied.
That's such
with
a
that.
Weird.
It is
untriggered Chekhov's gun, almost.
Yeah, it is definitely weird. But like I said, the thing... So like I said, I didn't know... Coming to this movie, I didn't know what I wanted out of a lot of stuff, but I knew things
right.
that I didn't want. And one of the things that I didn't want was I didn't want Snoke to have some, like, deep tie-in to the history of the fiction or whatever. Like, I didn't want him to be, like, a clone of the Emperor that survived his fucking, like,
yeah,
assassination attempt or some shit, or that, like...
Now he
right.
looks fucked up.
I sort of did want that. Maybe not so... stupid, but just gives this character a reason to exist.
You're right. Yeah.
So,
uh-huh.
Aside from
being
evil, I'm glad they got rid of him.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Rey, because the revelation that they have for Rey in this movie, which I will take at face value, and I definitely hope is true,
right.
is
she's
that,
just a nobody.
Yeah, that just,
no
she
one.
Is a nobody.
That's fine. Yeah, I love
yeah.
it too.
For multiple reasons. The first one being that I think it ties into the overall themes.
Sure.
Like, this movie does have like light. Political stances
mm-hmm.
for a Star Wars film, which is cool. Like, there's a simmering level of, like, populism
yeah.
in
yes.
this movie that I think it benefits from having.
There's a whole bad side plot about
right,
it.
I say, yeah, exactly. We'll get into that, too, because the content of, like, the things that happen on screen in that side plot are basically all, like,
pointless.
Totally forgettable
yeah.
and, yeah, not worth the time that happens.
Eyes glazed over.
But, like, the 2 or 3 lines of dialogue where they world-build in them are actually kind of okay.
yeah.
Oh, the casino.
Oh, the casino. Mm.
That's the most boring casino that's ever existed. And it had aliens in it.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that does... I think it fits within the context of this movie, and I think it narratively makes the most sense for that to be Rey's origin. Like, to
I
go...
agree. I'm down with it.
To go full tilt,
And then you don't have to come up with a preposterous reason why she's, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi's granddaughter
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, so there's multiple reasons. For the first one being, like, just for the sake of changing things up in Star Wars, I appreciate it.
Because,
like, we've had 2 sets of movies now that are dedicated to the concept that of, like, the Skywalker family, and they're basically the only people in the universe that
right.
matter. Like, do we really need 3 more movies that are also that... Like, you've got those movies already. They exist. Enjoy them.
And it's not unprecedented for her to come from forgettable parents, because that's where Anakin came from.
Anakin right.
And Anakin's parents.
Right, and ultimately...
Anakin's parents were created
Gently.
By the Force. Possibly by the Emperor. It's not clear.
Ugh.
Yeah,
but ultimately, that's where Luke came from, too.
Immaculate conception.
Yeah, right.
Because if
the
you take...
illusions are not subtle.
If you take those movies in the context of when they were actually created, the first Star Wars movie is a self-contained work where, like, there isn't some magical, like, or historical origin to Luke Skywalker.
Right,
he's
right.
He is literally just that everyman who comes from nothing mm-hmm. and, you know, goes on a fun galactic adventure where he learns some
worked.
Shit.
Yeah.
That totally works. And then by the same... by the same note, basically, like, the reason that I want them to keep it is because it works so well in the themes that they set up in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want them to go... I'm going to take a slight tangent, but I'm going to say that I don't want them to go, like, full... Like, I don't want them to be dedicated to the idea that the only people that matter in the universe are people named Skywalker and Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a thing about... The Incredibles used to be maybe my most favorite Pixar movie... And then, like, upon repeated watchings and repeated analysis, like, basically looking at people dissect that movie, like, a layer deeper, it's lost a little bit of the shine in my eyes, because
uh-huh.
if you really take it for what it's telling you, there's this, like, not terribly subtle layer of libertarianism in that film.
Uh-huh. I haven't seen The Incredibles in a while.
There's the suggestion that, like... The super people are super and special, so the normal people should just kind of get out of their way so they can
mm-hmm.
be their best. Basically, that, like, the existence of people who aren't special dictating what they can or cannot do is sort of this implied, like, if only the special people could rise to their best, then everything
right.
would be much better.
The villain wants to make everybody better.
Right, but I mean, so the other, but yeah, the thing about that,
is super, the thing about no
that,
one will
the
be.
Thing about that movie is that, like, Syndrome is the bad guy because he does bad things, but he's the one who earned his position the most. Uh-huh, like, right. Mr. Incredible and his family are basically, like, they got their powers through inheritance.
Right.
Like, they're incumbents to the ability of being strong, where Syndrome came from nothing and kind of, like, he built up. It's a shame that he used his, you know, wealth and knowledge and power for evil, but he's the one who perhaps most earned his position in that universe as someone who should be strong and, like, notable. But that's just a weird, like...
I see what you're getting at.
Yeah, it's not, like... It doesn't break the movie.
There's a lot of that in the Star Wars, that these characters are just destined to be
heroes. Right, but there's a lot going on, and exactly, like, I love that they're changing that up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want that to be the path for this movie, because it's been the path for so many of these other movies, like, already. We've already seen those stories.
There's a lot of even close to fourth wall meta type stuff, like, stop hero worshipping Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, there was,
you know, the Jedi and the Sith. You know, those are in the past, embrace the future.
It's just a stupid religion.
It even got to the point where I thought, towards, like, the scene where they're shooting down all of the resistance fighters, like, they could realistically blow them all up at this point, and it'd probably be all right. Mm-hmm. I'd be okay with only, like, four characters surviving this movie.
Unfortunately,
they didn't go that way, and they sort of kept them alive, and then it's like, well, we're going to have a rebellion built on hope again.
A lot of red shirts died.
Yeah.
So many red shirts.
It's interesting to note, this is the first movie where they openly called the Jedi a religion.
Interesting.
I think they said it.
So they
in
like
the New Hope.
Right, in A New Hope, there's that one Imperial officer who's just kind of like, he tosses it out to Darth Vader as kind of an insult.
Darth Vader,
but they certainly lean into it the most in this movie.
Sure.
Because that's like a one off line. Yeah,
this is
like
the first time a
dude.
Jedi said that the Jedi are
right.
a religion.
Yeah.
A Force user, even.
Mm-hmm. They definitely reframe it like.
Yeah.
Deliberately in
they're,
that
they're
context.
They're trying to separate the
movie.
Jedi from the Force.
Yeah.
Right.
In a way that wasn't before, which is cool.
Yeah.
I like that too. But
one thing that bothered me just sort of almost irrationally is when Luke Skywalker called out Darth Sidious by name. Call him Palpatine or something. Or call the Emperor.
I don't even remember that.
It was real quick.
It was when they
was
were
just like rattling off things that happened.
The Sidious rose during the power or the heyday of the Jedi or something like
that.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Right, and like, right, sure. And start
the
peak
of our power.
With Yoda.
Yeah.
With Yoda's ghosts.
Don't ever call him that.
Yeah, well, some things can't be undone.
And he threw Mace Windu out a window.
So at the very least, they have essentially erased from canon the concept of, like, midichlorians and all that nonsense.
Thanks,
so, like, nobody's going to bring that shit up again, which I'm super appreciative of.
Yeah,
I'm glad that when he was explaining the Force to Rey, like, that,
it was
that wasn't even alluded to, like, that there were, like,
it was a totally
parasites insider or something or whatever the shit it was.
Basically retconned out.
Uh-huh.
Like, his explanation makes that not make any sense. But also his explanation is what it was always supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take it for sure. And then there are other things, like I said, I think maybe my single favorite, because it was my biggest complaint about The Force Awakens, which I think Wade alluded to a little bit earlier, that, like, these crazy, like, with the bomber sequence early on, right? Like, these tragic losses of life happen that, you know, should be impactful, theoretically, to the people fighting for this cause. But in The Force Awakens, they basically don't even, like, personally acknowledge on any level there was a great loss. It's
A super Death Star wipes out 8 planets in a minute,
and then, like,
and no one cares.
Leia looks bummed out for about 30 seconds.
And
then it's just off
later,
to be heroic.
There's an X-Wing fight over the cantina.
It's off to have another adventure and save the day. But in this movie, my favorite, like, single scene might have been Rose's introduction, where she's just like,
yeah, right.
She just, God damn it, Finn comes on her, like, he's heading to the skate pod, and she's just like,
she's crying,
taking a break from doing her job to have a breakdown because her sister just got killed in that last exchange.
Right.
Yeah, that was awesome.
They need more shit like that, but, like, I'll take that as a start for
and
sure.
And then immediately gets over her hero worship because she sees him as a deserting asshole.
Yeah, like...
Like, my sister just died fighting for this cause, and you're about to just leave, and you're supposed to be a hero.
Yeah, that's one more thing I'm torn on, because I really liked the beats that they gave her, like, in general, like, in a vacuum, were super awesome. Like, I liked that character a lot, but, like, her and Finn's adventure was just
pointless.
Like,
so it was what is the opposite of meaningful and, like, even lower than pointless.
It contributed nothing to the movie.
Frivolous probably works.
Right.
Like, it's just
frivolous at best. Heavy-handed political message and
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it felt so...
The movie could have been written without that entire subplot, and you wouldn't have even had to change anything.
Yeah, right. I think that, like, that seems like a thing that, you know... I bet these movies are actually made at a pretty steady clip. Like, that seems like a thing that they might have massaged out with, like, another 2 or 3 months of, like, massaging the shit out of that screenplay. Because, yeah, it just seemed like... I said this in the car, too, like, right after, when we were discussing it, right after we got out of the theater... that whole sequence to me feels like one more instance of these adventure movies basically having the context of video games mm-hmm. exerted upon them for the worse, like for film. Because mm-hmm. it is like it's
time
like they
go
on
the casino.
They go on a side quest, completely like they encounter a quest giver, like what Maz Kanata or whatever.
That was a pointless like, cameo.
Yeah,
she
yeah,
had
yeah
too.
Right,
that
which,
was so
which
like,
was totally pointless.
Calling
and,
her a quest giver
and the only,
is perfect.
And the only reason she exists is to give them a thing to do. And then they go literally change location to give you, to go to some place to have an isolated adventure that ultimately doesn't matter that much.
And you could have written all of it off just by saying, Finn knows how to get onto the thing,
yeah.
and we know where to go to do the thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, would not have been hard.
Yeah, like, you could have taken that from just, like a really protracted, like, kind of distracting thing to, like, that could have been, expanded Rose's character even more, because, like, on top of having the initial revelation... Like, they kind of could have worked through it together, and she would have been like, all right, I think I can do this, if only we can scrape together, you know, X number of resources, and someone can get me to the thing, or whatever. Like,
then they could have built more into what was going on the ship.
Sure.
As mm-hmm. opposed to, let's go to a casino for no reason.
But they had to give the kids hope.
Well, yeah, there's that, and then there's... Well, like I said, like, some of that stuff, I think, like, their hearts were in the right place.
Yeah, I like some of that stuff.
In terms of introducing those ideas, like, I really liked the exchange between... I don't remember his in-universe name. Benicio Del Toro's hacker character.
Yeah.
And Finn, where he's
sure
like...
I'm sure he had a name, but...
Yeah.
The Collector.
Sure.
Right, where he's like, hey, man, everybody's working both sides here. Like, there's nobody who's truly innocent in this conflict. Like,
yeah, yeah, that was good.
That's a point... that's a thing worth raising that could have been raised in a less ponderous way.
Yeah.
Something that they perhaps elaborated on at some point.
I sort of didn't like that, because it set up the idea that both sides are the same, which is a stupid thing to think.
Well, yeah, there's... I'm totally with you that, like, it's dangerous to raise
false equivalencies.
Get into that territory.
That's one of those things that I felt like they were raising up an expectation and just dashed it, where it felt like he was alluding to helping them escape later and blowing up... The dreadnought that they were on.
Mm-hmm. Snoke's ship.
Super dreadnought. And then he just
bailed.
Took off with the money, and that was the end of that
I kept waiting for him to come back in some capacity, either to die or to come back to their side.
Right.
And
he'll be back in the next one, maybe.
He would be there when they were on like the base. Like, what if he had come through that secret hole as opposed to those weird, stupid crystal foxes?
Sure.
And gotten, like, hey, guys, there's a back exit here. Like, I did come back.
Give me some money, and I'll tell you where it is.
Yeah, I guarantee he'll be in another movie.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically for, like, the, like you said, the sloppiness of the, like, double 180 turnaround. Because he goes from being a mercenary to, like, showing some humanity by giving Rose her charm back to immediately being the turncoat, like, being worse than the thing that they thought he was.
I just sold out your entire movement.
Yeah.
What?
Peace.
Look at all this money.
That really made him giving back the charm to Rose
super
weird.
Like,
super
how strange
weird.
Is that? But, I mean, what that says to me is that he's going to be in another movie.
You're right.
Like,
he'll be the new Han Solo.
Right, they didn't, I mean, in my head, he was the closest analog to Lando.
Sure.
Well, yeah.
It's worth noting that the charm was actually probably not worth anything. He just literally needed it for its physical...
Its function for that, right? That
like
he just wanted to take something from her to prove that he could.
Well, he used it while he was hacking, too.
I'm sure he could have figured something else out.
Mm. There was a line in the movie that said that he needed it.
Yeah.
So I'll take him out
of his
word.
It was contrived as shit.
Sure.
Yeah. But whatever. But I mean, again, the problem with that whole subplot is that, every single thing about it was contrived and just like,
nothing mattered.
We need to get these characters from point A to point B, so whatever's going to happen to him is going to happen to him. Like, the fact that they just... That they sloppily get arrested and then just run into the MacGuffin of a human that they need to advance the plot in their jail cell.
Who could have escaped at any time,
but chose to after they
arrived.
But apparently waited until somebody else showed up so he could have, like, a snarky conversation with them first. Like, yeah, it's unfortunate that
whole
section
of
that movie is as much of a mess as it is.
That's really the section that drives it down to a B-minus for
me.
Right, if you take that hour and do something productive with it,
or
we're
just
talking A-plus territory.
Even with just remove it from the movie.
Right. It would have been a reasonable
length. Something a little shorter. Like, you can't just... That's a fairly big... thing.
Leave, leave Poe and Rose on the ship and have them deal with
there needs
what
to be,
their
like,
deal
just
is.
Just put something shorter and more important in its place.
Yeah, and that's another thing where both...
I said Poe. I think I meant Finn.
Like, they have...
Whatever. They're both in
They have so many characters that they know they want to do stuff with that they have to give them something to do.
Right.
And then also, I think that part of that is just the pure capitalism behind, like, here's another thing we can make a Lego set out of. And, like, here's a set piece where we can put, like, some more new, like...
Well,
you can get a plush of those racehorse things.
If that scene hadn't been in the movie, there would have been, like... The only planet in the whole movie they would have gone to is the ice planet.
Mm. Right.
So there's
and
basically
then,
no life in the movie if
they
don't have that scene.
They could have kept it. I think it just needed to be written better.
Yeah. Like I said, a second or third pass.
Better.
Like another...
Have Finn start the movie there because that's where the hospital was.
Sure. Yeah, they left him there.
Yeah. So he's got to figure out how to get back to the resistance
and
help.
And Rose is there for some other reason.
For any reason.
I'm sure that there's a million ways that they could have narrated on it.
She finds out her sister died.
Yeah. There we go.
As he's trying to escape the hospital.
But yeah, I think that like...
An exciting hospital escape.
Like I said, it is by far the weakest part of that whole movie.
Yes.
But there is like... Luckily, there's like those handful of things in
it
that like redeem it a tiny bit. Like some of the ideas that they wanted to interject over the course of it aren't terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But
I liked the kid at the end.
Yeah, that was okay.
They had force powers.
Yeah.
I liked when BB-8 shot coins at those guards and presumably killed two
that was
people.
Actually
I liked the goblin that
who
was
trying to
coins.
Yeah, like, I
that
think
that makes sense
as
to
far
me.
As
they could
like,
shoot those coins out of whatever
BB-8's
a
magic robot.
Yeah,
he's the greatest.
As far as, like, the goofy joke stuff in that movie, I was totally okay with those. I actually, like, upon thinking about it longer... I really liked the Luke Skywalker like milk thing. I like the more time I gave it in my mind, the funnier it was to me.
He's still just a farmer.
Uh-huh. Well, and then like specifically, like it actually even works in the sense that he's like kind of blowing Rey off. Specifically does so by like
doesn't
going about his
shit.
Day milking this horrifying like hideous alien, and then just like drinking it while staring dead in her eyes.
with the milk.
Yeah. Like basically.
I love like. Right in those opening shots where he just chucks the lightsaber over his shoulder.
I don't give a shit about this.
This is a weird thing to care about, but I didn't like the way he acted that. There's too, I don't know.
That, like, that action of
too
tossing
hard,
it, or, you know, there's maybe, but...
Like, he's trying to make a weird point that no one will understand.
I just thought it was funny because that was such a
That's
big scene.
Right, I understand
like,
what
they
were going for.
They were bringing up
with
like
scene.
That big scene from the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and
what's
like,
he
going to
do when he gets his old lightsaber?
Just, like,
right.
Like, I don't give a shit.
Toss that shit. I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
If he was going to play the entire movie trying not to say anything or do anything, then that would have been fine. But 5 minutes later, he's talking again. So you could have talked during that sequence and explained to Rey what the hell or why he doesn't care about the lightsaber as opposed to just chucking it.
But she's also just some rando because he's like
he
completely cut off from the Force. He doesn't know anything.
So he should be a little more curious than
right,
he was.
Right, someone walks up to you and hands you on top of the name
generations
of
old technology that can murder
his old
of
lightsaber.
People.
I think he's just so jaded at this point he doesn't care.
And that's why he can still not care, but to just throw it away and not say anything just makes no sense.
Like,
and
he
acted it weird.
He's got weird alien nuns to hang out with.
He's been on that planet probably for a while by himself, so... Mm-hmm.
Probably close to a decade?
I think it's impossible to predict how a person would or should react when another human comes to them in that situation.
Mm-hmm. But I still like that whole, like, I liked pretty much... Like, in general, I liked most of the stuff that happened there. Like, the place that they took, like, his back and forths with Rey, I thought was pretty good. And I did, like you guys already said, I really liked the her psychic exchanges with Ben, with, like, Kylo Ren were really good.
I don't think we needed the Force nuns, but...
Well, yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Comic relief,
yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Like, they weren't distracting.
No, they weren't.
So, like, I'll take it from that. Like, I actually thought of all the comedy stuff that the weakest... attempt at that was probably the like the very first thing, the exchange with Poe and Hux on the bridge. Like I feel like if they had done like one or two more passes at that at the dialogue, like that could have been better.
It really set a kind of a bad tone for the humor of the entire movie because I felt like most of the jokes were kind of
contrived.
There was one really good bit for me. Thank you. There was a great bit when BB-8's in the box pretending to be a buzz droid, and he makes the buzz droid noise.
Yeah, that was really awesome.
That was the only time I laughed in the entire movie, and it was because it was a subtle joke.
Yep, and
the only subtle joke.
Yeah, and I'm still
so
I'm not even sure if it was like intended to be. funny or not.
I don't know.
The other part that I thought was the funniest was him being found out by the evil BB-8 droid.
I love that. Why is there an evil BB-8 droid?
Because of course there is.
The real question would be, why wouldn't there be?
Right.
It's a useful technology.
Just like you can, like, that droid was animated like, I smell something. Yeah. Turns around, and you get this hard push in on
you
its
You can
little,
see the eyebrows.
Yeah, it's a little head with its, like, little red eye, and it's, like, zooms in real close.
I love when they're getting to, like the whatever the... What, I don't remember what they were going to go mess up. That thing.
The flux capacitor.
They're right. Going up to it, and that fucking evil BB-8 rolls up. He's the first one in the room. And then the stormtroopers come in. Oh, my God.
I found you out.
Oh, it's so good.
Do you think the personification of that BB-8 has a mustache?
Yes.
I hope so.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure there's already porn fanfic going on right now.
Yeah, right. A mustache is just one of the 17 things that comes out of its orb with, like, little arms.
Maybe a monocle, too. He puts it over his thing. It acts like a zoom, but he looks really pretentious.
Mm-hmm. My internal guess at their own approach to it is that BB-8 is the Darth Vader to Obi-Wan from the first movie.
3PO.
Evil BB-8
yes.
is the Darth Vader to the good BB-8
uh-huh.
being Obi-Wan from the first
like
one
it.
That they
yeah.
sense each other.
Uh-huh.
I like
totally,
that.
I'll totally take it. It's great. But then, like, to finish that part up, still, like, even the, like, literal end to their whole, like, arc, their side quest or whatever, mm-hmm. was still just, like, super underwhelming
mm-hmm.
for the most
yeah.
part. Like, I feel like...
It was nice that... I kind of liked how he had some kind of concluding consultation with... confrontation
yes.
with Phasma.
Yeah, and I didn't hate
they
like
killed Phasma.
Yes,
I thought they killed
probably.
Her in the first.
Probably
agreed. But
she
like
pretty dead. But
yeah,
I think it's cool that like I just think that could have been done better if
yeah.
they had a better arc and like that moment specifically had more time to breathe.
Right,
like it kind of came at the heels of the much better payoff of like Rey
yeah.
and
yeah.
Kylo's exchange, and then at the same time it was just so like quick and dirty
yeah.
of like. All right, I'm just going to, like, hit you twice, and then an explosion's going to happen, and now we'll never see you again.
I appreciated the cinematography of him literally standing over her in an elevated position.
I like that, too, but then he had to go and ruin it by saying something stupid.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know.
Hey, Phasma.
Yeah. And it's
almost a scene, like, right out of Back to the Future, too. Also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. Totally. I get that. And it's just so unfortunate that character,
so
there really wasn't anything more to that character than it was a shiny stormtrooper.
In a position of slightly elevated power.
I bet there were drafts many
yeah.
times
yeah.
in both
See,
movies where the,
what do we
the
do with
development
this?
For that character got cut.
Yeah,
oh, sure.
I 100%
yeah.
agree, because even like the setup that they have between them, like between Finn and her in that first movie, is like they could have gone somewhere with that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's just so much shit going on that
he just,
know,
it's,
at
think
some
it's
point
just
you have to
leaves.
Cut some of these threads.
You
right.
leave him and his interactions with the First Order so quickly
mm-hmm.
right.
that there's no time to build up any repertoire, because he's got to go get with Poe. He's got to start like... getting redeemed for being
yeah,
a
but I wasn't. I definitely
like
wasn't sad
Kylo.
To
yeah.
like sad to see her go in any way. It's like all right.
Yeah.
I wanted to know more about her.
Yeah, right. I would watch the Phasma movie.
Mm-hmm. I think you can predict a lot of it.
You can
guess
sure.
most of it.
Yeah,
she bossed around Finn, who was a janitor.
Yeah,
that's her boss. That's her.
Yeah.
You don't get to be a silver stormtrooper by bossing around janitors.
Bossed around a lot of other people.
Laser proof.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that
was
neat when she got shot by the laser.
That's another
like,
man.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't
that,
care.
That's
right.
another like.
She didn't care about the laser.
That's more of the Empire's. Or I guess the First Order's like military industrial complex on fucking
sure.
display, man. Like they're not gonna spring for. They're not gonna pay 20 million credits for a regular trooper's life. Just for the officers only, man.
What do you guys think about the 6 Imperial super guards, the red guards, like basically being weird ninja superheroes?
I liked that
I think
scene
I liked
enough
it.
That
yeah.
like yeah like
all right.
Again I totally
the fight was really cool.
It was
the fight
yeah
was cool.
That's another
I thought it was a little much
a little
I was okay with it, because that's I took that as another That's just, like, such, like, cinematic, like, that's just a samurai movie. Like, yeah. It literally is just a samurai movie for this, like, 5 minutes or whatever. Like, in that context, I was totally okay with it.
It was weird to me for have the one, like, bust out space nunchucks and go...
A little bit. Their weapons were strange.
Just a little. Their weapons were anti-lightsaber weapons, which is interesting that that's who Snoke would surround himself with.
I bet you that was in case of Kylo. I bet that was his, like...
You could...
Supposedly his backup plan. Right,
yeah, oh, yeah,
case.
Or Luke, too, but I bet... like the reason he kept them around more like all the time and like he wasn't really there in the actual first movie, he was just kind of like
they were clearly trained to
fight Jedi,
fight people, right?
Yeah,
exactly,
to fight people with lightsabers.
Yeah, I thought it was like
why their armor didn't resist it, who knows.
Well, yeah,
the guy took a lightsaber to the eye.
Right,
he's dead now.
I don't think there's lightsaber resistant armor.
I don't know.
Yeah, probably all those fights are going to be some level of ridiculousness, but I thought it stayed, like, I didn't think it was too long or too short. I thought it was about the right length of time for, like, an exchange.
And nothing
like,
in that fight happened that I was like, that would never happen. Also, that was the closest thing in the movie, probably, to an actual lightsaber fight.
I was about to say, correct me if I'm wrong, no two lightsabers touched in this movie, right?
I don't think so, but if they did, it was very briefly. I'm not 100% sure on that.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Projection Luke never...
Yeah, right, he could.
He had one in his hand.
It was fake.
Well, yeah, but he didn't...
Right.
Which
when I thought back to it, when he like revealed himself to being a hologram, like, he never actually touched him.
Right.
Like, the entire time.
Just, I wish that scene had been longer, where that it had more of him just never touching him without him quite realizing it.
Yeah. I also wondered what that lightsaber was that he had until he was, like, revealed to be a hologram. Because it was like, oh, so it's blue, but it's not the Anakin one.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, like, flashback shows him with the green Jedi one.
Yeah.
So it might, but it didn't
matter. Plot hole resolved.
Plot hole resolved, exactly.
Delightful.
I did like that, too, in terms of just, like, going the extra mile to show people that, like, look, man, we're not always going to serve your fanboy shit. Like, having them break the Anakin lightsaber in two, I was totally on board with.
Yeah, but
like,
now Rey's just going to attach both ends of it to her staff.
Well,
I bet that's happening.
I do hope that whatever lightsaber, I hope when she shows up with the lightsaber that it's like kind of fucked up, like Kylo's, and like the beam is like weird and like not quite right.
I bet her lightsaber will be literally perfect, just like she is.
I hope she fights him with her staff.
That'd be cool.
That takes like the high road, or at least the path less trim. That'd be something.
I think they set up that she was learning lightsabers, because she learned lightsabers perfectly in, you know, 10 seconds of swinging or whatever.
Mm.
Hey man, she put her own spin on it. She flipped it backwards,
right,
like in the video games, and was like...
They really wanted to make a plot point. I was like, I'm going to hold my lightsaber differently.
Mm.
Although I will say that, like, that's... like, winding all the way back to The Force Awakens again, like, some people out of that movie gave Rey, like, a slightly undue amount of shit for being too capable. Like, on some level, I agree with that, specifically with, like, the piloting stuff, because she says she's never flown a plane, and then she can perfectly fly the plane, but I actually think it makes total sense in the context of, like, the survivalist and, like, her ability to throw down and shit, because she's clearly had to survive on that planet.
Right, she's been scrapping
forever.
She would have
either, died, or she would have beat the shit out of, like, anybody who wanted to kill her.
She demonstrated a sufficient amount of knowledge about the Millennium Falcon
in the course of
that movie.
Yeah, like, I think
she's just good with tech, maybe,
right.
Yeah, in my mind...
She's a scrapper.
Yeah, in my mind, the piloting thing was the only thing that was, like, a little sillier. And in that movie, it could have been resolved so much better by just having Poe go with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not pretend to be dead.
Right, whatever that... Yeah.
Pretty sure that
was.
The first draft of that movie...
He was
even,
dead.
Like, late drafts of that movie, Poe was dead, and they brought him back right at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's,
like,
kind, that's why that,
right,
that's why that ended up that way.
Like, but the audiences really liked Poe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, in that first movie, like, I think there was, like, a... probably, you know, simmeringly sexist pushback against, like, well, she just shouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Like, no, there's a lot of things that it makes sense that she can do. Like, it does make sense that she's, I might have to, there you go, pause it. Okay, we had our recorder go out for a second because computers are stupid, but we're back now. I believe we were summarizing a handful of thoughts on Rey in general.
I like her.
I like her a lot, too. I think, she, like I said, I think she plays the Luke Skywalker, like, the protagonist part. Well, I think Daisy Ridley does a good job.
I think anyone who complains about her being too capable too quickly is a weird hypocrite if they like Luke Skywalker. Because he was even as capable even more quickly with
also,
even less reason.
He completely, perfectly piloted that X-Wing
Sure.
In that movie, he with no.
It's just like outside T-16 with his T-16 back home.
He wanted to go to pilot school and then never went to pilot school and then became a Jedi and then took down the Death Star in 2 seconds with no experience.
The Force
flying
was with
anyone.
Him,
right? Mm-hmm.
The Force.
Why can't the Force be with her?
Yeah, like I said, on some
she's
level,
a woman.
Damn.
Whoa. On some level, there's just like...
Sorry, I forgot our overreason with our communications with the midichlorians. I apologize. It's all the estrogen in our system.
Before we came on, we were talking about the first cut of the original Star Wars movie being very different. And one of the things I saw is that scene, the Death Star trench runs, there were like 4 different passes of that run. Like... Luke failed the first time, 2 other people failed, and it just took forever and ever, and eventually he got it right.
Sure.
But and the most interesting part about it is, and I know this doesn't have anything to do with the conversation, but it's interesting.
Star Wars.
Originally, the Death Star was not targeting the Yavin base.
Okay.
So there was just no stakes at all to this encounter. Like, we could just go back and forth forever.
So it wasn't targeting anything.
No,
they were
just
going to blow
space.
It up.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is boring.
That is very boring.
The more realistic.
And you'll sort of, if you go back and watch it now, you can sort of notice that all of the reaction scenes, like you may fire when ready, are sort of spliced in from earlier cut footage.
Huh. That's neat.
Yeah.
Editing.
Yeah, right. Emmys for editing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Mrs. Lucas.
Mrs. Not
the
Lucas
former
anymore.
Mrs. Lucas.
Ms.
Whatever her name is.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
I like Rey. And like I said, I think that... on one hand, it's just, look, it's a movie, so suspend your disbelief and just roll with it. But on the other, I do agree with all you guys that, like, her setup, I think, is... Of the things that I don't like that much in The Force Awakens, I think her setup is actually better than, like, a lot of the stuff going on in there.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense that she would be technologically savvy, because she's had to survive on that planet.
She's also,
by salvaging or repairing tech.
She's taking apart, like... spaceships for a living.
Right. Yeah,
and looking for specific.
She knows what she needs. I mean, that could just be she's learned from what pays more. Like,
Uncar Plutt.
When she goes to take a thing to him, it's like, oh, this was more expensive.
Why do I
last
know that?
Week. I don't know.
Right. She has to not just take apart tech, but follow like the markets on specific tech.
Yeah. Sell it to Simon Pegg.
It's so funny that that's him. We were watching, I think it was some of the special features or something, and just watching him come out of that suit.
Yeah,
like,
that's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
It's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's living in like a suit filled with Jell-O pudding or something.
Basically.
Yeah. I still like the blaster shot to Kylo in that first movie. I still really enjoy as like a crossing the T's conceit to make him a little more vulnerable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part whenever I saw those stupid arguments they never bring up. It's like, well, he just got shot by a crossbow like 5 minutes ago. And they even bring it up again in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you lost to a girl that's only been using a lightsaber for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and he's also just clearly displayed up to this point the ability to be both like a little cocky and a little unhinged.
Uh-huh.
So you get the idea that he might not be taking the fight super serious up front, and then quickly realizes that he probably should have been.
Uh-huh.
And his face gets sliced.
That's why I'm looking forward to this third movie, because they've set him up to be the antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as opposed to, like, a perfect emperor or a perfect whatever that Snoke thing is.
Yeah.
You have, like, just this crazy unhinged person that you don't know what he's going to do, and he's just going to be mostly incompetent, and everyone hates him.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of like what happened with Anakin at the end of...
Yeah.
But he wasn't necessarily
the antagonist at any point.
I'm definitely looking forward to see, like... First Order high school. It's him and Hux, like, who,
he's
like,
going,
you know,
to kill Hux.
Right, they're both like 30 or whatever.
One's gonna kill the other.
They're both
one
like
30
or whatever,
I
but it feels like they're each like 16.
Oh, I would put 80% odds that Ren kills Hux in the next movie.
Yeah.
Maybe even higher.
Even
I thought,
like,
he was gonna kill him in this.
Right,
way.
Or maybe he even like sacrifices him, like he
gets
uses
him killed.
Yeah, like
I need someone for this dangerous suicide mission.
No.
Or I'm gonna pick somebody random.
No, like he leaves the ship they're on and lets it doesn't tell Hux and just lets it explode on him.
My prediction is that Kylo Ren destroys the Order in rage and just does everything himself and is a sole antagonist.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
If that's the kind of thing I would have liked to see.
It's not the Resistance versus the Order. It's right. Just the Resistance versus Kylo Ren.
So I wanted like to see no more Resistance, no more like, First Order. Just Kylo Ren versus Rey. And
yeah,
friends.
And honestly, that would probably be a more satisfying way for the First Order to crumble than just like the First Order.
We destroyed
the, right,
something
then,
oh,
right, no. Then just like the Resistance overcomes all odds and somehow defeats them, just like the Rebels defeated the Empire.
Right.
It would be so much cooler if it was like crumbled from within by a combination of Kylo's mismanagement and his just like
the fact that every stormtrooper's an idiot.
Yeah,
political incompetence.
But also a directed rage that.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's more single-minded about just getting even with Rey, or you know, his mom, or anyone who he's got perceived slights against than you know ruling the galaxy or whatever.
Santa
like
Claus.
He's got other shit in his mind,
and he already has attention with Hux, and that could spread to other parts of the Order. And
sort of on that
note, you know what? I'm just gonna fuck it.
Just you're all fired.
Dang.
So, I really liked the commander of the dreadnought or whatever, the angry British guy, because you could tell that he was just a guy stuck with idiots above him who's just exasperated and
like,
has
really?
To deal with all this all the time, and then he dies because of it. He saw it all coming.
Yep.
Couldn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's real my good. Damn.
I will say that it wasn't nearly as irritating as in the last movie, but they still did manage to get a slightly smaller big gun into this movie.
And they made sure to call it
miniaturized Death Star tech. Yep.
All right, fine.
Which we used to blow down doors.
That's right. Didn't even really blow it down.
Just like damaged it.
Melted
it?
Yeah. It was like a microwave, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Death Star, giant microwave.
That was pretty funny.
Cook all the Hot Pockets.
Mm-hmm. You will run out of water.
Oh, it just becomes Batman Begins.
Whoa.
And it's so hard for me. I don't know.
Where do you think all the salt came from?
It's hard for me to render a definitive judgment since, like, the stuff that got us there was, like, so that was the part that was the most tiresome. But I'm pretty sure I liked how Finn and Rose ended up by the end of that movie. Like, it's just so hard to judge because the other things that they did were, like, I was so disinterested in.
Right.
By the time we got to the part that I gave a shit about, like, it was just hard to reconcile those two things in my mind. But as, like, a weird, as somebody who thinks it's fun to watch John Boyega have fun being in a Star Wars movie, I was glad to see him not die.
All right.
I think it would have made probably more narrative sense if he had died.
Yeah, I was prepared to lose him in that scene.
But I was personally
sure
okay
made
with it.
Look like the,
right. Yeah, I was personally okay with it just because he just seems like a fun dude to have around.
Yeah, I like Finn a lot. He's cool.
The one narrative reason I liked him not dying.
I don't dislike him, but he's just...
I disliked his role in that movie.
Yeah.
It was consistent with his character.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he just seems
he didn't seem like a mutineer in the first movie. But
yeah, he's a little too cocky, I think.
Right.
He's the best
X-Wing pilot in the universe.
He only resorted to mutiny because he thought that they were all going to die.
Yeah, I think that totally works because in the first movie, the one character thing about him is he's a good pilot.
Right.
And in this movie, they gave him a little bit more than that. So, like, in that context, I'll take it.
I still like Finn better.
That's fine. Phil, what were you going to...
I was going to say, from a narrative perspective, I'm glad that they took Finn's non-martyrdom in the direction that they did just to say, like, listen, we're not trying to kill each other or ourselves. Like, this war is not going to be fought that way.
Yeah. Now, like I said, like, Rose ended up being, like, the heart of, like, she's the one who cares about people on, like, a macro and a micro level. Like,
right.
She lost her sister experienced
exactly.
it, and then she didn't want to lose Finn also, having gone through some, like, kind of boring shit with him.
Well, yeah.
But, like, that's what I'm saying.
It,
like,
brought a lot of humanity
to
it.
Yeah, if their arc was a little better, it would have been, like, perfect. But instead, it was just, like, fine.
The way it culminated perfectly represented the way it began, which it ended in, like... almost out of left field, I love you, thanks, kind of scene. Like,
Finn basically
didn't return
not knowing
the kiss,
what to do was great.
Right, didn't return the kiss, didn't say anything.
It wasn't just, very appropriate.
Yeah, I'm not touching this, let's go back.
They're in the middle of maybe losing the war when
right.
it happens.
But I do like at the very least that they like each other. I don't know that they're going to be madly in love at some point, which was, like, I did appreciate that it was fun that was a little bit awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, he was conditioned as a child to be a stormtrooper. Like, he doesn't really have
much... He does all right, given that.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't have that much experience, like, empathizing with or understanding, interacting with people on, like, a personable level. And mm-hmm. he's come really far in, like, months.
This is a dumb thing to even talk about, but I'm pretty sure he's into Rey.
Yeah, that is certainly suggested.
So
that's why he's so.
How like, much of the third movie is going to be wasted on
right,
this?
Right, hopefully triangle. None.
I really hope you either leave it unfulfilled, unresolved, or leave you waste time on it. There's a good chance that whatever Finn's role ends up being in the third movie will be ultimately useless.
Sure, and my hope is that they do find something better than I hope they find something better than the side plot in this movie to have. Him and Rose do, and it doesn't necessarily have to be together, but like,
give those characters something to do.
Yeah, because like I said, I thought Rose was a really solid. Like, I thought that character
she
was
grew
good.
On me.
And
I didn't could
really have been
like
much better if like the things that they had them doing were not as dumb. But
I came
yeah,
to like her more near the end of the movie.
So either she still needs to be like the moral grounding mm-hmm. of the Resistance, or they need to expand that to other characters, or both.
Mm-hmm.
But I did appreciate that in general.
How come the pilot of the interim leader, I can't remember her name, Laura Dern,
mm-hmm. yeah.
why did she get that role and not Admiral Ackbar?
He died.
Why did you write it that way?
Oh, I don't know.
And then, why not give Admiral Ackbar a heroic sacrifice at the end?
Because then Poe would have had to have a mutiny against Admiral Ackbar, and that would not have happened.
People wouldn't have taken to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that is a good point. That like
they needed some unknown, some non-established.
Right. It needed to be someone that nobody really
knew
or
trusted. It was easier for him to turn against someone who was previously lower in the chain of command than like basically the next person after.
Also,
Leia.
The audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
How they wanted to track your emotions mm-hmm. for that plot.
People like Admiral Ackbar.
I like Admiral
He's
Ackbar.
Been through some
People
shit.
People hate strong women.
Now you're thinking of yes. Star Wars.
That's true.
Anyway.
Well, all
right. Right.
Damn.
Didn't mean to spin the chair backwards and
no,
get too real
perfect.
In here.
It was, yeah, no, it was perfect.
Man, I was going to say something else, and then I totally took the wind out of my sails. Totally. That might be it.
Yeah,
unless I can
ruined
remember.
Us.
Yeah, unless I can remember what the other point
That's
I was going
to
make
That's the highest
was.
Note to go out.
Summary of the Star Wars fan base.
I mean,
completely correct.
Why do you think Phasma had to die?
Man.
Damn.
Leia survived.
Kids stopped buying the action figures when they found out she was a woman.
I'm really glad they didn't post-kill Leia.
Yeah.
I'm glad they allowed that to stay.
Right, I assume that all just went according to...
Right, that's how I
the original script.
I'm glad they didn't recut it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they don't Rogue One CGI her in for the next movie. I hope they write it in a way... That either
it takes place a year in the future and she's dead.
Right, I bet in the opening crawl of the next movie they explain how and the fact that she died.
She's given up command because after that accident or whatever and has like just gone like
the grief of Luke's
passing.
Maybe
she's still like feeding them like giving that like that fucking Maz thing like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like occasionally someone like oh I just got off the phone with General Organa or whatever.
They could do a CG. Leia, if it's in a hologram, that probably would look mm-hmm. all right.
Yeah,
and if you're fishing for if you're fishing for things to like open the next movie on, you could totally like coming off
since General Organa's passing.
Yeah, coming off of the context of this one, like you could open it up with like a basically like right. In addition to all the other shit that happened, like the Resistance gets dealt one more blow. Cut to like Kylo reacting to it because we have that context from this movie that he still cares about his mom despite everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So that you know maybe he has either like a solemn moment or like another tantrum. Either one of which I'd be totally fine with.
More tantrums.
I think it's fun to watch him break shit and be a child.
Him breaking his helmet was a really powerful, interesting scene.
And the fact that. That was his choice.
Right.
He made the helmet for himself. He chose to wear it, and Snoke thought it was stupid.
Snoke called him out for his stupid helmet.
Oh, you baby.
You're a child in a mask.
I talked to Wade about this yesterday, but I liked how much Snoke played his emotions and basically controlled every aspect of their relationship. Mm-hmm. That he would tear down Kylo's based on his weaknesses and make him feel basically useless, and then feed him drops of encouragement and positivity.
Sure. Right.
He is an abusive
A literal exactly. representation of an abusive home. Relationship.
Right. But then Kylo utilized that to kill him.
Yeah.
Caught him off guard.
And also took advantage of how stuck up Snoke is and how much he thinks that he's the greatest shit in the
world. That would have all been really cool if I didn't hate the concept of Snoke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we touched on that already, right, but yeah. I remembered finally the other thing that I was going to say. Kind of in that last, like, basically their, like, little run against the walkers or whatever in the canon
scene?
In that last sequence.
Yeah,
I was so worried the movie was opening that way. So, like, oh, the First Order's coming to the Rebel base. I was like, shit,
It really is the same plot, just kind of in reverse.
Right.
Yeah. I was glad that the movie didn't explicitly open with that.
Sure.
Like, it was instead a space battle, which was different at least.
I don't think it was perfectly, I think it could have been executed a little more subtly, but I still appreciate the fact that...
Star Wars, The Last Jedi, it could have been executed a little
I still appreciate the fact that they gave Poe, like, a whole arc where it seemed like he learned something. Because up to that point, it, like, almost has, like, a period, like, after-school special style of, like, Finn's gonna go in and do the stupid thing that Poe might have done, 20 minutes ago. And Poe's like, don't do that, you idiot. Because I've learned something now.
But it still ended with Poe trying to lead everyone, and
right.
for some reason he's like, "Wait, Leia, should we do this?" And she's just like, "I don't know. Okay."
Sure.
He's the roguish haberdasher,
but right. he did ask. That's a start.
Right.
He didn't just do it. He was like, "Pretty please."
I think it was even other people who.
Yeah, right.
He went off, and she was just like, "Yeah, follow him." Whatever.
He looked back to make sure people were following him, and then other people looked back to make
just
sure.
Charging off on
right.
his own.
And
Crystal
Dogs, Crystal Foxes played an integral role in
Vulpix.
Alolan
Vulpix. Yep.
They're a cool looking Star Wars monster.
Yeah.
Like that they make literal like wind chime noises when they walk around.
I pointed this out also to Wade. The reason Poe leads people back is because he assumes that Luke must have come from the back, but actually Luke didn't.
Right.
So he just got lucky by not killing everyone.
Well, who was the one? They all realized that the dogs were gone, right?
That's actually what like they end up following the last couple Crystal Foxes out to where Rey is, and then
he yelled out to listen, and people were like, "I don't hear anything." He's like,
"Exactly." and then they would have been trapped if Rey hadn't shown up.
Yeah,
and
Force opened the thing,
which was
cool. One thing that was kind of weird about that she just, like,
she's
disappeared
strong.
After the throne room, she just vanishes and then shows up again with Chewie and the Falcon.
So when Chewie dropped her off...
Exactly, they never...
When Chewie dropped her off, she was like, I'm going to give you a signal when you need to come pick me up.
She at least...
There was a lot of dialogue.
There's a lot of movie that I'm...
And a lot of people that needed to make a daring escape from that.
There were too many contingency plans happening at once that I couldn't pay attention. Everything converged.
They did at least mention it.
Okay.
I like that Kylo lied about how she escaped in multiple ways, but the smallest of which was he said that she escaped with Snoke's ship, but she didn't.
He's just a bastard liar. It's great.
Yeah.
And for the second time in that movie, someone almost killed him while he was unconscious.
Yep.
Oops.
That was a neat little moment, too. Cox would kill you in an instant if he could.
Just the slowly opening it,
and then
reaching for the gun, seeing him move,
fine.
Pulling his hand out.
Next
everything's
time.
Cool.
Right. So, what happened here?
I know
what's
where
wrong?
You sleep.
Yep. Oh man. Yeah, that was a good little moment.
It shows who Hux's character is, which is also why I'm
absolutely.
Pretty sure that Kylo will kill him.
Right. There were multiple times, like especially with his interactions with Snoke, Hux's interactions with Snoke in both Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, there is clear animosity between the two of them. They are not friends.
That they're just like brothers that don't get along.
Like, Hux is in charge of, like, the sword. Like, those are his, like, he specifically says his troopers. Mm-hmm. It's his
right.
army.
Yeah.
He's in charge of that, and Kylo is this magic religious
right. baby. Right. If anything, they're both middle managers looking for their seat at the
they're
table.
They're on the same, like, they're on the same pay grade.
And that's how Vader was in the original trilogy.
People didn't like him because he's some weird space priest.
Right.
But
the generals didn't respect him because they were like, listen, we're
not a general.
You're just a relic of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vader
so
choked
he
them.
Killed them.
It's not the smartest way to inspire your troops.
But what are you going
to
do?
Kill your smart generals.
The last thing
fear is a powerful
thing. Yeah. The last thing I can think of for sure that we already touched on a little bit, but I appreciated how it all shook out is... I liked that both Luke and Kylo initially misled Rey a little bit about how that exchange went.
I love
like
that.
They were both sort of telling the truth, but also sort of mischaracterizing the situation.
Right.
But I also think because their like biases feed into it, because it's Luke
it
is like, oh, he was turning bad, and he just blew up the temple. And like, Kylo Ren's he tried to kill me.
Yeah, it's a really solid combination of both, like, just inherent, like, real human weakness and, like, crazy misunderstanding that, like...
Right.
But then I did also like how Luke then was like...
Okay, wait a second.
Like,
oh, man,
I thought for a second,
idea.
And then I felt terrible about it, and then he woke up.
All right, wait. I got... Terrible timing. Kylo's take on it is probably how he actually feels about it. That he was just about to kill him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which
then,
I mean, that's
exactly. I don't see it as.
Him.
I was more impressed that
it's
he told.
Writing piece.
I was more impressed that he told Rey the truth. Because 100%. I don't think that like he thought Luke was gonna back away. I think he thought Luke was gonna come in for blood, and then he reacted.
Yeah.
And then Luke obviously like
was
his initial revelation is that like. Hey, I just came to talk to him, and then, like, shit popped off. And then and then it is revealed that there was way more to it than that.
Which could have even been, like, something that, you know, was repressed in him. And he didn't want to face it or think about it.
He definitely didn't want to.
He was going into that tent with the intention of killing a person.
Yeah.
I like that he was ultimately right about him, too. Like,
But
if he were to turn back to being a good guy, or if, like, Rey wanted to turn him back to, like, whatever, it wouldn't have worked. But since... He still is a crazy madman. Luke is entirely right to go in there and probably try to kill him.
Or it's a paradox, because if he hadn't gone in there to try to kill him...
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
There's a real suggestion there of, like, a real human element that probably has never been brought up in, like, a Star Wars movie that I can think of that's, like, you know, on some level you can correlate that to, you know, how we treat... prisoners or just how people treat other people in general. Like, Luke didn't give him the benefit of the doubt... And then by acting hostily in the first place, got the result that he was expecting.
Right.
Who can say what would have happened if Luke had actually come in there unarmed with no ill intent?
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't think he was in there... I mean, the way I remember the scene, he walked in there not with his lightsaber drawn, but
he read his mind,
and then he's like, all right, I should probably kill this guy.
Because he had suspicions, went in there to check, did not like what
he
saw. He
brought his gun.
In a moment of weakness, took his lightsaber out.
Yeah,
instantly regretted it. And
no,
all shit hit the fan.
Yeah, you're right about that. That sequence is exactly how it played out.
Yeah.
But the question you can raise for yourself from that point is, well, what if he hadn't brought a lightsaber at all? What if he literally just like, what if he had those suspicions, but his only course of action from at least at that point was just to have like a conversation,
right?
Like what might have gone differently.
I also thought it was really interesting that Rey saw the exact opposite and was like, we can still make him. You know, I see light in his future, and then trusted him, and then went to Snoke's ship, and then he killed Snoke instead of her.
Yeah, like at least at the face of it,
she was gonna be right.
Right, at least at the face of it.
And he offered
her that paid off
help too. Like he didn't have any animosity or any
he was just,
intention of killing her at any point.
Yeah, right. And the same thing. I think that their exchange and the weird little kinship they built up was genuine. Like
in
that moment, I totally bought that. Like. They were in it together, and that they had kind of, like, they're both these weird kind of misfits who have more power than they know what to do with, and...
I think Kylo's playing her the whole time.
I don't know, we'll see. We'll see where they try to take him, because, like, they can pay that off one way or another in the next movie. Like, his actions in the one after this will kind of cement whether he was being genuine or if he was, like, you know, truly taking her for a ride.
Should take the poll of who thinks he's gonna die in the next movie.
Man, I don't know.
Before we say that, to wrap up our last thought, I from a narrative perspective, it's just really cool that Luke thought he was going to turn evil, and by basically acting like he's going to turn evil, mm-hmm. it helped him turn evil. And Rey thought he was going to be good
yeah.
and followed him and
yeah.
treated 100% him well.
Treat,
and, then he,
yeah.
and then he treated her really
yeah,
well.
Yeah, 100% agree. That is the like maybe the coolest, like that is a really neat thing to have happen to them.
It's a weird paradox that happens when you can see into the future.
Right, and I mean even like there's some level of that like...
Just if you treat people well, they'll treat you well. And
yeah.
if you treat them like shit, they'll treat you like shit.
There's some level of that like you can look at that as even a generational difference. Like
sure.
you might look in some segments of the world today.
Han Solo never treated him like shit. Maybe.
Well, we
yeah.
don't know that.
I was going to say, I bet he did.
Han Solo would be
he's
a
probably
good
not
dad.
A, well,
I don't think he'd be a bad dad. I think he'd be like an absentee dad.
Yeah, I could see him being more inattentive than like outwardly hostile, but...
The implication was definitely that Leia was the parent.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I think Leia was mostly in that relationship at all. I don't think Han did much.
Mm. He was at least there.
Because, like,
sometimes.
The point, the snapshot we get of Luke in this movie is he's so far gone in, like, his own cynicism. But Rey is still, like,
hopeful.
You know, she hasn't been beaten
right,
down by the world to the same extent yet.
She's a lot like a young Luke.
Yeah, she's got a little more,
spunk.
A little more spunk,
and
a little
like
more...
Snoke would
right.
say.
a little brighter outlook on what might happen in the future.
Sure.
As
for Kylo, yeah, he'll probably die.
I think he's gonna die.
I think it depends... I think that's a question that totally hinges on financially what they want to do with the three movies after this.
God damn it.
Like if they're still set in this like continuing
timeline.
Version of the Star Wars universe, then who can say?
I feel like the only way he doesn't die is if there's a worse enemy that they have to align themselves
mm-hmm.
against. And since Snoke is dead, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I will say that if these movies are the end to this saga, like basically if none of these characters come back in episode 10,
mm-hmm.
then I definitely think Kylo will die one way or another. Either like he'll be killed as the big bad who they take out like in the final moment, or you know, he'll actually do the 180 and mm-hmm. sacrifice himself in some way,
or
right?
Yeah.
To maybe undo something evil that he set in motion earlier, or you know,
I can maybe see that.
But yeah, I think there's a chance that he will live. If they do more movies with some of these characters, but I don't know. We'll see. I agree with you. I think it would be much cleaner if that character ends up dead. By
not
the
if he
and I agree
lives
with you
and
that the
Rey
only reason
dies.
He would survive is because
right,
the numbers dictate
yeah,
that he should
he'll
live.
Be in more films.
But what if Rey dies instead?
Maybe.
It's not
maybe,
impossible.
Maybe they both die.
They could, yeah. Mm. Hell, man. I don't know.
Balance to the Force.
Or what if her death spurs him on to be good?
That'd be something.
So
that
might
that
be
could
okay
only
that.
Happen if the First Order kills her,
mm-hmm.
which I don't mm-hmm. think is super likely.
Or maybe there could be. Maybe there is some second
maybe there's
Snoke.
Snoke's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man,
Snuck.
I feel like that can't happen because of how terrible it is from a writing
yeah.
perspective.
No worse than the first one.
Yeah.
No, it's even worse than the first one. So they're building a trilogy here, and they've built up to Kylo being the bad guy, so introducing a character
right.
in the third movie
exactly.
to be the bad guy is really...
Makes no sense.
That would be like if Thanos shows up and isn't the bad guy in Infinity Wars.
Snoke isn't real, if that's what you're asking.
No. I couldn't remember the name of...
Snork.
that was one of those underwater Smurfs, right?
What?
You're going too deep for me, man.
I think it's
called?
Pronounced. I want to get the name because I couldn't remember the name of the guy who directed this movie. I think
Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johnson.
I've
yeah.
never seen
and
Ryan
spelled,
spelled
with
an
I.
Spelled
weird.
Weird.
I for some
I don't
stupid
like
reason.
That.
The last point,
I don't like that at all.
Since we reached the point where we're speculating about the future, the last point I was going to make about how weird this third movie is going to be is that I would personally have to, having seen episode 7 and episode 8. Taking each of them warts and all, I would be more optimistic if Rian Johnson were directing
sure.
the third one and not J.J. Abrams
yeah.
again.
I really hope it's not Abrams.
Yeah.
It is, until
it
they
is?
Unless they change it again.
Mm.
Yeah, like they it was somebody else that they changed to Abrams again. That's the current state of things.
They said the guy that did Jurassic World was going to do it, and then they got rid of him because he's terrible.
Well, you know.
Good.
But it's not that I, like I said, I don't hate The Force Awakens. But I like all the things that like that movie sets up that I think this movie tweaks. I think there's a danger that depending on what JJ's opinions are, right, that he might, like, guide it back to whatever his original vision was coming into an episode, like, coming into the next movie after he had made that first movie.
Like, different political parties taking control of the White House.
Exactly.
If I watched Force Awakens and then Last Jedi, I feel like it would give me whiplash just from how by the numbers the first one is and how completely different the second one is.
Like, yeah, because, like, coming into this movie, the only, like, the thing that was going to convince me to see more Star Wars movies is that, like I said, I didn't even know what it needed to be, but it had to be not the same. Yeah. Like, yeah, because we already have, seven movies already, you know. A couple of them pretty bad, but, like, we've got a lot of movies doing similar things already. Mm-hmm. So if the Star Wars universe is going
to
continue,
like poetry,
it needs to be a little more flexible than it has been. Like, it can't just be this loop of
everything
destroying giant objects in space and, like, this literal perfectly diametric good versus evil. Like, there has to be something going on that makes it different than the stuff that came before.
The more they explore the gray areas, the better.
They did sort of set that up.
Yeah.
But Rey don't give a crap about lights and darks. She's just going to do what she do.
Yep.
Yeah. And it freaked Luke out.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
What the fuck? You went straight to the dark.
What
you
the
heck? Animal.
It was really good.
That bit was creepy looking. Like, it was all, like, just like a hole, and it was just, like,
gross,
grass going
hole.
Into it. And then, like, that was such a weird scene.
I liked
it.
It
was
and
so
then she
surreal.
Learned nothing,
very
maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe she did learn something.
Show them my parents, and then it was just her. Shit.
I mean, right, she didn't get the literal,
didn't get validation.
Yeah.
That's very on Dark Side.
Dark Side, right,
the
Dark Side was a little more
side.
Of a tease than you might have expected.
Right.
Buy a Dark Side dinner for
Ray, you're becoming your parents, who you never knew.
Mm-hmm.
You're abandoning the children you don't have and then die in a ditch as a drunk.
Yay!
Yep. Although, yeah, that was a, like, on top of Ray's parents being nobody being a thing that I enjoyed, this was mentioned by other people online, but it was a thing that I hadn't really considered. Not only were they nobody, but that they were, like, pieces of shit. Like, that
sure,
was way better than if they had been, like, good-natured people who had, you know, abandoned her with the best of intent. Like, I think it's way cooler.
Junkies. It's all here for drug money.
Kylo's take on it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. None of your dumb theories about what Skywalker she's related to, yeah.
So, yeah, this next movie will be really weird. But I definitely want to see it see, you know, how it is similar to this one, or similar to The Force Awakens, or just different than both of them.
I'm still on the train.
For now.
And I still don't know if I'm going to see that Han Solo movie in theaters.
I'm sure that I won't.
I really don't want to.
I'll see the next trailer and probably, like, snicker at it, and then we'll go from there.
80% or higher reviews, and I'll see it in theaters.
That's probably
not
right. Like,
not opening
if the buzz is high enough, I'll definitely see it in theaters, but it has to be, like...
I do that, but, man, I'm not expecting that by any definition.
No.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
This is a slight tangent, but the only movie I want to see opening night is Infinity, and I want to see it at midnight. And order the best seats in the house.
Right.
Nice.
I'm not going to wait any single minute longer than I have to see that movie.
I would be terrified too.
Right.
We went opening night and saw Star Wars at 7. You don't have to wait till midnight.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now it's not midnight.
Our movie's
anymore.
Open now.
Yeah. Thursday night, man. We'll do it.
Weekend receipts have been extended.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Yep.
Well,
we'll check that out
on the other podcast.
Right.
Very cool. Well, yeah. Unless anybody else has something to throw out there real quick, I think we will call that a recording. But yeah, it would have been like I said, for me it would have been the difference if this movie had done all the things that I didn't want it to do. I would have been pretty cool on Star Wars at this point. Like if
Captain
Snoke
Rey.
Had been some giant elaborate conspiracy thing, or if Rey had just been one more, like, she's actually
Notch
a Skywalker by like
Obi-Wan,
like, if it would have been an eye rolling like she is the fucking reincarnation of Anakin Skywalker, that alone would have been enough to be like,
I would have walked out of the theater.
Shut up. No.
And that's why Snoke's so interested in her, because she's the real Vader, and Kylo's just a fake Vader.
But when people
Vader.
Were saying that online, I was like, they could totally do that. Fuck them. Yeah, I was very satisfied with the macro things that they did with, like, where these movies are going, so...
The broad strokes were better than the finer details.
I will 100%.
Some of those finer details were not great.
Not hot.
I will totally take an episode 9.
Casino.
Like that ship. It should have either caught up to the chasing ship or fallen behind. One or the other.
18-hour chase where nothing happens.
And if you build, like, a super space space station ship, the excuse it's too big and slow shouldn't apply. Like, I think you've got thrusters and stuff and propulsion engines that can catch up to the smaller ship.
I mean, maybe they rely on light speed too much.
Maybe they get right to where they need to be.
Fly through space. That's contrite. People don't do that anymore.
Your trunks. You're too big.
Yep, you're too heavy and slow to touch. So
your muscles are too big.
I'm done.
That's it.
Yeah, that'll do it. It was pretty good. Not perfect, but I would say above average.
B+.
So, like,
speed.
If you like Star Wars, go see
light
the Star
speed.
Wars.
Yeah.
B-. Now that we've spoiled it all for
now
you.
Now that we've spoiled it all. Right,
I think you've seen
go
it already
see it,
or aren't
no,
going
go
to see it.
No, go see it again because
sure.
you've already
see
it seen
again.
It. For the first
time. See it from a different lens after our high-level literary discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for hanging out. And thanks to the internet for
hosting this
hearing us talk about nonsense. So until next time, we will see you then.
Boing loins.
Thanks for...